This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to our Penguins Chat. Coming to you guys after Game 81. Andrew Destin with Matt Wenzel. Talking all things Penguins hockey after the Penguins beat the Nashville Predators to stay alive in the playoff race. Since we last spoke, this team no longer controls its own destiny. I know that's Matt's favorite term, but things are now out of their hands. Matt, with the playoff picture, I don't want to bog down too much on that and kind of expand out some more topics, but just to briefly run through all that. Out of their hands, Penguins are a point back of both the Red Wings and the Capitals, and need the Capitals and Red Wings to both lose or lose in regulation, and for the Penguins to win Wednesday against the Islanders. So safe to say that this is not a clear-cut path, and they've got some things that need to work in their favor, but it doesn't look like they will. Isn't that fair to say?
That is fair to say. You just stated a bunch of facts, and I'm not going to dispute them.
No disagreements. I want to expand that out, though, to the stretch that this team's had, though, in late March. I mean, I know there's a lot of places we could go with this, with the postseason push, whether or not qualifies as a success if the Penguins get to the playoffs or if they don't. But expanding out, looking at this, this stretch since late March, should this change at all how Kyle Dubas and the Penguins approach the offseason, just given that it has been a disappointment on the whole? But they've obviously finished out here pretty strong, regardless if they make the playoffs or not. Should that change any calculus? Is there anything individual performances or team-wise that we should actually take serious stock in?
Yeah, I mean, there's a couple of individual things, but I don't think Kyle should make too much of this stretch here. I think it would be a mistake to ignore, you know, the 70 other games that we saw what this team is and we saw this team's flaws to – you know, just say, okay, the last dozen games makes me think completely different about the trajectory of the team. You know, a couple of takeaways. I mean, one, Sid is still very good at hockey. You know, so I think he can feel good about the fact that, all right, like, as long as we have this guy, we have a chance to put a team around him. And I think the other big one is obviously Alex Nedeljkovic. The fact that he's played so well, you know, Mike Sullivan went back to him against the Predators last night, Monday night, and he obviously was solid. Team played very well in front of him. But I think one thing he can say is, okay, like, this is a guy we need to bring back. You know, I don't think Ned's going to break the bank. I mean, probably a multi-year deal somewhere, you know, around $2.5 million per year probably would be enough to get it done. I know Alex, you know, told me last month that he would love to stay with the Penguins. So I think those are the two big things. But, yeah, I think there's a danger in reading too much, you know, into the stretch here because, like I said, you know, we saw who this team was for much of the season. We're still seeing, you know, these flaws pop up in the games, even though they're winning in spite of them. You know, I guess maybe one more thing is just like, hey, some of these young guys, particularly your boy Jack St. Ivany and also Drew O'Connor, like, these guys are building blocks. But, you know, I don't think there's major takeaways beyond that.
Yeah, I think that's exactly right. Not to just be the guy who agrees to agree, but I mean, there's a sample size of 70 games that shows more so what this team is, and they've showed their cards of what they are at their core. I think more so the discussion points I have off of that is just how the Penguins approach the goalie situation going in the next year. Obviously, you mentioned with Alex Nedeljkovic, the contract that Tristan Jarry has, it's not going to be somebody who's easily movable. And I know we've mentioned it multiple times in this podcast that this is probably going to be the goalie core that they run it back with. In terms of
this, yeah, that was 2-3 weeks ago. I mean, I don't know how you can look at what's transpired here over the last, you know, 2 weeks and not think that potentially that's changed. You know, I mean, I thought 2 weeks ago that they would run it back. It made sense. At that point, you know, Ned had played maybe 5 games in a row, 6 games in a row. But the fact that it's been 12 games in a row, the fact that with the season on the line, you know, Sullivan went back to Nedeljkovic. I mean, that Boston game with Ned looking like he was out of gas and getting pulled was an opening for Sullivan to go back to Jarry if he wanted to, and he didn't. So I think the situation has changed. That doesn't mean I think Jarry is definitely getting traded, but you can't help but wonder if they've reached a point of no return with Tristan there. I mean, Monday night they needed a win, and that wasn't the guy who was in the net.
Yeah, they had every opportunity, every reason to, and he went away from him. That kind of beat me to the point I was going to say, with Sullivan going into Nedeljkovic for a 12th straight start versus New York, I mean, that kind of says everything. Not to beat a bush, you kind of hit on a lot there. Beat a dead horse, but you kind of hit it on.
Wait, are we beating a bush or a dead horse? Which one are we beating?
Well, I was going to beat around said bush, but then beat the dead horse because we talk a lot about goalies.
Hopefully PETA doesn't listen to this podcast.
I'm catching strays. With Ned, though, I mean, you know, I mean, there's not really much else to say other than that's kind of telling of what Sullivan thinks about him. I thought maybe the more revealing comment was that Sullivan said that this guy's the guy who gives us the best chance to win. I know that's what Sullivan always
says that every game. Actions, yeah. Andrew. That's what is standing out here, not what the phrase I've heard 4,000 times in the last 6 years covering this team.
It was the same phrase. It was more just like how he built off of that, saying how, like, we're riding with the hot hand. We're sticking with this guy that, you know, and he tried to basically dodge the question of why not Tristan, but it's, you know, saying what he didn't say, or what he didn't say, I guess what stood out to me is that it wasn't the usual, you know, we have extreme confidence in both goalies, that, you know, we think highly of them both. We think Tristan can give us a great chance to win. This is just a matchup thing. It was, no, we think the recent results, all that sort of stuff. I don't know. To me, it just stands out.
Actions speak louder than words, my friend.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The 7-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You don't need to worry about what the coach said.
All right.
The fact that the season was on the line and Jarry was working the door tells you all you need to know.
Wow. Working the door. Sounds like something you did growing up. I don't know. Am I allowed to throw it back to you?
All right, let's go. You're groggy and just not on your game. Let's get going here.
Yeah, this is a failure for me. Is there anything stylistically about the way the team's been playing, though, that feels like a trend that will switch, carry over into next season?
No. I mean, it's going to be a completely different team next year. And we'll see if there's stylistic changes. I mean, the track record we've seen with Mike Sullivan is that there's probably not going to be stylistic changes. And we all expect Mike Sullivan to be back. Kyle Dubas has said it a million times. And this, you know, stretch run here, but only makes his solidify Sullivan's footing. So, no, I mean, I think stylistically, we're probably going to see the same team. I mean, we can debate whether that's the right move or not at a later date, but I don't think there's really anything we can carry over to the next season in terms of the way the team's playing. Other than, hey, like if you don't allow a bunch of odd man rushes and you protect your slot, you know, you're probably going to win more games than when you don't do that.
Yeah, but it's
high level hockey for you.
That's too easy to say and something the Penguins won't do. So why even bring it up, right? Wow. Shrug. But what, on that note, though, I mean, yeah, it's going to be a different team. It's I would like to believe that it'll be different, but with Sullivan at the helm, I'm curious to see how that kind of goes. The only things I take away are just the way they've generated offense recently. But again, that's a moot point if you revamp the entire roster, which I know we'll be writing about as much in the coming days, depending on how.
Yeah, you're burying this team, huh? They still have a chance, and you're already turning the page to next year?
Well, I look at it as this, is that even if they make the playoffs, which I know that's a point that will make it a successful season in some people's eyes, to me it's still, you know, this is the fewest regular season wins they've had in a full season since 05-06. I mean, it's a clear turn in the wrong direction. It's not a success even if you get into it, because it's not like you're going to beat either the Rangers or the Hurricanes. I know it's hockey that a lower seed team can pull anything off, but to me, I don't look at this as a success in any shape, way, shape, or form. So to me, I would, you know, look toward the future, just given that this feels like a moot point of discussing anything playoff related, but feel free to disagree with me on that.
I mean, I'm just saying they still have a chance as we record this. So we'll see.
Well,
I'm not saying if they make the playoffs, they're even going to win a playoff series, but our viewers are going to want to know what we think about that. So we'll see.
Well, what do you think?
Stranger things happen. I mean, I think knowing the way that this East race is gone, like, we'll probably see the Capitals and the Red Wings lose tonight, and then the Penguins can winning it in, and then they'll lose. I mean, that's just kind of how, like, the wild card race has been, although these teams have all picked up their play recently. I will say another interesting subplot, you know, the Flyers and the Capitals play tonight. The Flyers need a regulation win. Wouldn't it be something if it was a tie game, Caps, Flyers pulled their goalie because they need a regulation win, and the Capitals get in on an empty netter? I mean, it's within the realm of possibilities that we could see that happen tonight, and that would be something.
I mean, I'm not ruling it out with Torts. I mean, he's done that at various levels coaching wise.
Well, they have to. I mean, it's, yeah. Haven't you seen the Mighty Ducks? It's like the scene where they gotta get in. They need the win. They pull the goalie. I don't know if we'll see a flying V or their goalie take a slap shot, but yeah. So anyways, one thing to look out for tonight with that game, that would obviously be a tough way for the Penguins to get officially eliminated.
Yeah. A game both you and Riley Smith are going to be watching,
I guess.
Yeah. Something like that. Is that your expectation, though? I mean, I know that's the hilarious conclusion, is for both teams to lose and then the Penguins.
No.
How do you think this actually plays out? Who do you think is going to get in?
I don't know how it's going to play out. I mean, there's a few things that need to happen. You know, just look at the numbers. What the Pens have like a 10% chance of making the playoffs, because, you know, they got to hit a three-leg parlay here, so to speak. You know, all I'll say is the Penguins have, you know, done their part here over the last couple of weeks. I mean, what could prove to be the critical blow to them, or the thing that knocks them out, if things don't go their way, is blowing that 2-goal lead against Detroit. Now, they ended up winning in overtime on the Carlson clapper, but you know, that loser point that they let the Red Wings get could ultimately end up being the difference between the Penguins making the playoffs or not, if things shake out that way. So, you know, that would be fitting in a way if the Penguins were to miss the playoffs because of one of their big collapses. But I don't know. I mean, I don't know what's going to happen. You know, I do think, you know, if the Penguins do get to a point where Wednesday's game on Long Island is a win and in scenario, you know, the Islanders are not going to have a ton to play for in that game, not really have anything to play for other than getting ready for the playoffs. So that's advantageous. So, you know, if they get to that point, they have no excuses but to win. But we'll see how these games play out Tuesday night.
Yeah. Stay tuned for it. Going to be real important to follow along with. Before we wrap this up, just want to thank Pella for being our sponsor for this podcast, Pella Windows and Doors of Pittsburgh. There's no better place to get new windows and doors installed in your home than Pella, who can help you save on energy costs year-round. Schedule free in-home consultation with your local Pella Windows and Doors to find the right product for your home and budget. Give them a call at 866-593-1560 to discuss that project further. Again, that's 866-593-1560 to get started planning on your new windows and doors installation with Pella Windows and Doors of Pittsburgh. A lot to monitor, obviously, with the playoff picture starting Tuesday night with those couple of games. Matt, just to wrap this up, gotta let you get on the road to New York. Stick taps, who are you handing them out for these past few days?
Sidney Crosby.
Great choice.
He's awesome. Seven multi-point games in the last 12. He had another one Monday against the Predators. I mean, he just was so dominant in that first period. I mean, really throughout the course of the game, we get the numbers from SportLogic, and I'm pretty sure that in terms of his puck possession throughout the game, that was probably the highest all season in terms of him having the puck on his stick. And that's typically a good thing for the Penguins when that guy has the puck. But yeah, I mean, he's been great. If they do get in here over the next couple of days, you know, he's far and away reason number one that this team was able to pull off the darn near impossible.
Yeah, no, kudos to him. And Alex Nedeljkovic said as much after the game of how that first period might have been the Penguins' best of the year, and it's no surprise that coincides with Sid playing as well as he did. I'm going to also make an obvious choice and say Alex Nedeljkovic. Just getting back in net, for a lot of guys, you know, obviously that could have rattled him getting pulled early. He'd said that physically he's held up fine. I know that, you know, that's not an easy thing to start as many games in a row as he has, 12. Certainly Nashville didn't pepper him with the toughest of opportunities, but still, I mean, it's been a heck of a run for him, and regardless of what happens, it's something to certainly hang your hat on, of just a great end to the season for Ned, who's basically started half the games for the Penguins. So good season for him, great season for Sid, and we'll come back with more breakdowns for you guys depending on how this playoff picture all shakes out the next couple of days. But in the meantime, keep up with our content on post-gazette.com, and thank you everybody for listening.
Thank you for checking out this content from Post Gazette Sports. If you watch this video on YouTube, please like the video and subscribe to our channel. For all of the sports coverage the Post Gazette has to offer, visit post-gazette.com.